That girl's been in love with you for as long as I can remember. Followed you around like a puppy all through school. You've got to be careful with that man. Wondered if he really had no clue that it had been more than Nikki following me around. That it had grown into something it shouldn't have before it became responsible for the single greatest regret of my life. How even after I'd shut it down, cut her loose, it had still festered and grown until it had consumed me, and I'd found myself a pathetic beggar at her door. Unable to stop myself from going to her. Needing her. Knowing I was just going to hurt her all over in the end. Just get that building done. I'll take care of Nikki until it's finished. Barely see her anyway, since we have opposite schedules. All right, then. It's a plan. I nodded. It was a plan. A plan that left me completely screwed and somehow satisfied. Needing a distraction, I pulled away from the guys and shifted to holler toward the kids. Who wants to get ice cream with Uncle Ollie? Frankie Lee tapped Evan's shoulder, the little girl signing to her best friend. In a second flat, both of them were beelining toward me.
Me, me, me!
Frankie shouted as she and Evan raced my direction.
I want to ride with you, too.
Rex laughed under his breath and scratched at the scruff on his chin. Apparently I'm going to need to have a talk with Frankie Lee about ditching her little brother. Literally left my little man in the dust. I chuckled under my breath. Don't give her too hard of a time. She knows you never take your eye off him. Frankie grabbed me by a hand, and Evan slipped his hand into the other. Both of them grinning up at me like I was maybe the coolest person in the world. I gulped down any unease and tightened my hold on their hands, leading them over to my truck parked on the curb. I unlocked the passenger door and both of them clambered onto the seat. Evan, first considering the truck, was so his thing. He was running his palms over the leather dash, the steering wheel, checking out every detail. I shut the door behind them and rounded the front, climbed inside, turning my face toward him so he could see. Still your favorite, buddy? He gave me a thumbs up and a smile that was nothing but bright, shiny teeth. I ruffled a hand through his hair. You have good taste, that I can tell you. He nodded like crazy as he buckled in before he was grabbing Frankie's hand and weaving his fingers through hers. I chuckled under my breath. Oh, so that was how it was. Little player. He didn't even blush when he realized I'd caught him, my eyebrows lifting in question. He just gave me a look that told me she was his to watch over. She missed the whole exchange, too busy vigorously rolling down the window.
Start her up, Uncle Ollie,
she shouted, and I did, the two of them laughing as I quickly flipped a U and headed in the direction of the ice cream parlor that wasn't even up the road a block. Cale and Rex would walk, but I'd promised Evan a ride, and he was going to get his ride. I glanced over at the two of them sitting on the bench seat. So fucking cute. So sweet. So perfect. Frankie Lee's hair blown by the whipping wind, her little hand out the window, gliding up and down like she was riding a wave. Evan's attention was wrapped up in the truck, the dials and gauges and the gear stick I shifted that climbed from the floor and basically stuck up right between his knobby knees. Their hands? Still linked together. I needed to downshift to pull to the curb in front of the parlor, so I grabbed his free hand and wrapped it around the knob, guiding him through the motion. He made this thrilled, scuffing sound that twisted my spirit like it had been rung up by a tornado. Seemed it was the simplest of things that made this kid insanely happy, and damn it, if that didn't make me happy too. I let him help me take it out of gear and put on the brake as we parallel parked on the street, and I told them to wait as I jumped out and headed around to the passenger side that butted the sidewalk. By the time I was helping them out, Rex and Cale were already approaching, little Ryland taking a ride on his daddy's shoulders. You finally made it, I tossed out Riley. Whatever, I can walk faster than that old truck, Rex badgered. Frankie hopped out and bounced over to him.
That was so much fun, Rex shook his head.
Why doesn't she go on about my truck? Frankie Lee's mouth twisted with distaste.
Daddy, your truck is a work truck and stinky and dirty. Look how pretty Uncle Ollie's is.
She waved her hand out like she was one of those The Price is Right models. Rex latched onto that real quick. Ah, it is pretty, isn't it? Just like Uncle Ollie. Pretty boy, he taunted. If his kid hadn't been standing there nodding and agreeing like it was the truest thing he'd ever said, I would have given him a finger. Pretty boy, my ass. Come on, you two. I stretched out my hands for Evan and Frankie. I promised you ice cream. Let's get you some ice cream.
Yay!
Frankie yelled, skipping along at my side. Evan and Frankie went right for the display, pushing up onto their toes so they could see the different flavors displayed behind the glass. They ordered sundaes, and Rex ordered a cone for Ryland. We found a place in the corner where the kids dug right in. Conversation easy. Rex, Kale, and I chatted, catching up since we didn't get to chill like this nearly enough anymore. I froze when I felt the hairs at the base of my neck lift, a prickle of awareness, not in fear. Or hell. Maybe that was exactly what it was. Fear. Because the weight of her presence was beginning to become terrifying, affecting me more and more. I slowly shifted in the hard booth so I could glance over my shoulder, wondering if my mind was just making shit up. But no. She was there. Nikki. Honeyed locks cascading down her back in a wild, erratic stream, not curly in the least, but still all over the place. Her back was to me, but she was sitting at a table sharing ice cream with this young girl who couldn't be more than 17 or 18. At the girl's side, covered in chocolate ice cream, was a little boy who probably wasn't much older than Ryland, shoveling the ice cream in like he'd just discovered the Holy Grail. By the look on his face, he had. That wasn't what had my insides curling with a crazy sort of worry. Wasn't what had disquiet sinking slow and sure into that vat at the bowels of my spirit where all the bad shit lived, compounding and sharpening. It was the way the girl's expression held nothing but beaten-down fear, debased and degraded and disparaged, like she couldn't take a single thing more or she would crack. Nikki held her hand in the middle of the table, her head dropped low and tipped to the side. Even though she was facing away from me, I could tell just by her posture that she was speaking to her. Her words low but fast, desperate encouragement. Awareness seeped through me like a parched desert sucking up a summer rain. The realization that whatever was going on with Nikki had everything to do with this girl, with that little kid. Like my spirit just got that Nikki was desperate to stand up and protect both of them the way I would protect her. Fully. Wholly. Without question or fear or any consideration to the consequence, because that's what it came down to. I wanted to protect Nikki, keep her safe, not because I wanted a second chance at saving someone, but because it was the only thing I had left to offer. An eye and an ear and a ruthless heart that wouldn't think twice about striking down anyone who thought to fuck with her. And whatever was happening at that table, that unease climbed my spirit, clawed and expanded. Fury flamed, licks of agitation, stirs of anxiety.
Uncle Ollie, Uncle Ollie!
Frankie tugged at my shirt.
Isn't that right?
Damn it. I didn't have a clue what she'd even said. That's right, sweetheart, I mumbled under my breath. Rex cocked a brow, gave me a look that said, really? Who knew what I'd agreed to? Probably had told her the world was made of cotton candy. For her, I'd give anything to make that statement true. Sunshine and rainbows and everything sweet. I rocked in the hard booth, rubbed my fingertips over my lips, trying to sit still. Nope. Couldn't do it. Give me a minute, I told the guys. No one really even responded when I pushed out of the booth and stalked across the small parlor. Coming to a stop at the edge of their table, I glowered, hands and fists, as I stared at Nikki, who still clutched the girl's hand as she frantically whispered something to her. My guts, that were screaming, cried out. Nikki, what are you doing? What exactly have you gotten yourself into? Reckless girl. Because the girl across from her, who was little more than a child, all out shook when she jerked her attention my way and saw me standing there. Fear. So much fear. I recognized it, written all over her. When Nikki followed the girl's attention and her eyes landed on me, it was horror I saw all over that perfect face.
Ollie,
she whispered through her shock. Those indigo eyes went round, and her teeth clamped down on her lower lip. Behind her, the sun streaked through the window, glowing around her head, circling her like one of those rainbows I'd just been talking about. Motherfucking sunshine. Nikki, I said, voice so hard it basically had to be pried off my tongue. Energy lashed, something alive and painful between us. Give me a minute. she asked me, repeating the exact thing I just told my crew. Both of us asking for time. But time was something we'd never had. None of it. Too much of it. Forever lost. I glanced at the girl and the little boy, who was still shoveling ice cream into his mouth, and scrubbed a hand over my face. Yeah, of course. I stepped back, but I refused to walk away.
Chapter 13. Nikki. I remained locked in a stare with Ollie, my hand still clutching Brenna's while I begged him with my eyes to give us space. Questions billowed from him as if they were written in the rough, choppy air, concern and this knowing kind of anger that twisted my belly with a rush of anxiety. My worry wasn't for him or what he would think. It was fully for Brenna, the girl who was so completely terrified she was shaking and cowering in her seat as she wrapped a protective arm around her son's waist. Ollie towered there, appearing hard and intimidating, menacing, a beast ready to charge. What she didn't know was that, even though the man didn't know her, he would go down in a blaze to protect her. He'd never lift a vicious hand toward her, not ever, or me. It was his gentle hand that put me in danger. Reluctantly, Ollie backed away. For a beat, my gaze followed him, my heart leaping into my throat when I spotted who he was there with those precious kids. This was the problem of living in a small city. Their idea of a fun outing for kids was basically mine, too, thinking this would be a great place to keep Kyle entertained while I talked with Brenna. I swiveled my attention back to her. I'm sorry about that. Her eyes warily followed the hulking man as he moved back through the little ice cream shop. Who was that? Her voice trembled. One of my oldest friends. I grew up with him. I gave her hand a squeeze. He's a good guy. A great guy, actually. You don't need to be nervous. Funny how it was too easy to sing Ollie's praises because they were true. The man just came with all kinds of other warnings. I'm sorry, she whispered, disgrace clouding her expression. She fiddled with a napkin on the table, looking away when she said, God, I'm such a mess. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I reacted that way. I think I'm losing my mind. You aren't. It was the vile asshole trying to make her think she was insane, filling her head with lies, making her believe she was responsible for the way he treated her. She'd called me this morning, telling me Caleb had been bothering her again, sending her texts, demanding to see Kyle. I'd suggested we meet. I just needed to see her face to face, needing the validation that she was really okay. I was sure Caleb was unstable. I hadn't told her the information I'd shared with Seth, my suspicion that it was Caleb who'd broken into my apartment and had left the two notes. He'd advised I not, that I allow him to investigate a bit so we could find some proof to pin him to. And he'd told me to stay close to Ollie. That was probably the hardest part of what he'd asked me to do. I promise you're not, I told her. You have absolutely nothing to be sorry about, nothing to be ashamed about. Heck, I'm pretty sure grown men cower when they see Ollie coming their way. I let the lightness weave into my tone, hoping it would allow her to relax. He's big. Light laughter filtered free. Yeah, the man is a bear, a big old teddy bear. So maybe that was a tiny white lie. The man would tear someone to pieces with his teeth, but that side of him was not something she needed to worry about. Is he? I heard the suggestion in her question, the pink that touched her cheeks. Is he yours? I was sure there was no way she hadn't sensed that intensity that blazed and burned between us, heavy and fierce, combustible. Ours was not a pretty sort of chemistry. I forced a smile. No, we're just friends. She frowned as if she didn't believe me. Doesn't seem that way to me, Miss Nikki. Was that a tease? Her attention darted to the man I could still feel from behind me as if he was offering up proof. His presence overwhelming. A rush of heat thrashing at my back. No doubt he was looking this way. I cleared my throat. We've just known each other a long, long time, that's all. I should probably head back to my mama's. She grabbed a wipe from the baby bag and began to wipe up Kyle's face and hands. No, Mommy, I eat ice cream. He grinned a chocolate smile. A soft jolt of affection escaped me. Was it yummy? I asked him. Yummy, yummy to my tummy.
Do you have a happy tummy?
Uh-huh. Good, then my job is done here. You just invited me over to fill my boy with sugar, huh? Seems to me like maybe you should have to watch him run wild for the rest of the day. I loved it when this side of Brenna came out. When she didn't shrink behind her walls, and the girl who wanted to be free peeked out from behind. I'll gladly watch him. Anytime. She sobered. Thank you so much, Nikki, for everything. Standing, she picked up Kyle and settled him on her hip. I slid out of the booth. For being here for Kyle and me, she mumbled as I stood with her. You're welcome. I tickled Kyle's neck, and he giggled, burying his face in the fall of her hair while still peeking out. Affection swelled in my chest. The little thing was so adorable. So sweet and innocent that it expanded that place inside of me that somehow kept feeling more and more hollow. I wanted to take him into my arms, feel his weight, breathe him in. God, what was wrong with me? See you soon, Sweet Fang, I said, trying to keep my craziness in check. He wrapped his little arms around his mom's neck and grinned. I shifted my attention to Brenna before leaning closer to her, my words a hushed whisper. Remember, you are strong. You have control of your life. You have control of your body. You have the right. Her head bobbed along, her lips barely moving as she repeated the support group's mantra. I moved in and hugged her tight, my mouth at her ear. Believe it. Stepping back, she swiped a tear from her cheek. I do. Thank you. For a beat, she looked over my shoulder at the people I could feel staring at me, giving me space while invading it all at the same time. I could hear Frankie Lee jabbering the way she loved to do, and Rex and Kale added little things in, but it was Ollie's silence that was most notable. I'll see you Tuesday night? It was an affirmation and encouragement all in one. She had to make the commitment, even if Caleb was making it hard for her. I will. I promise. Okay, then. I'll see you Tuesday, but if you need anything in the meantime, you know to call me. Don't hesitate. I won't. A desperate sort of a plea wound its way into my tone. Please, be careful. She blinked at me as if she were searching for the things I couldn't say. I will. I promise. For a moment, we both stared at each other before I gave her an encouraging nod toward the door. I'll see you soon. With a timid smile, she turned and made her way through the shop and out into the summer heat. I just stood there, hoping beyond hope that she would stay strong as she ducked her head and headed down the sidewalk. The whole time, I was contending with the shivers racing across my flesh. The awareness that slipped and sped. I ran my hands up my arms, trying to chase the overwhelming feeling away. Pinning on a smile, I shifted around and headed in the direction of my friends. Ollie had remained standing, leaning against the wall with his arms crossed over his massive chest, watching me as if I'd committed some sort of mortal sin. I did my best to ignore it, the tumble of nerves that worked through my body just at the sight of him standing there. So wickedly gorgeous, jeans and a fitted tee, the man a wall of muscle. I turned toward the table. What are you guys doing here? Frankie Lee squealed, just as she was digging a big spoon into the ridiculous concoction she had in her sundae glass.
We're eating ice cream.
Is that so? A warm giggle slipped free. Frankie started to ramble, staring up at me while she spooned ice cream into her mouth.
I've been missing you, Auntie Nick. Where you been? Working at Pepper's Pies? Did you know my mommy made a brand new kind of pie? Blueberry. I helped. I think I want to name it Blueberry Blast. Will you write it on the chalkboard for me?
Of course I will, I told her. First thing Monday morning when I get back to work. She grinned.
Did you know my daddy's going to build you a big, big house? Do you think it's going to be bigger than ours? Because my new house is so big, so high, but it's not a skyscraper. Nope. It's just two stories, but I have two stairs, one in the kitchen and one in the living room. My mama used to live there with Grandma Corinne. Did you know that?
Frankie rambled on as if what she'd just let on was no big thing, as if she didn't have my entire being jarring back from the shock. My attention whipped to Rex. A guilty expression rode on his too handsome face.
Excuse me, but what did your daughter just say?
Frankie sighed and lifted her voice.
I said, my daddy is gonna build you a new house.
A frown pulled across my brow, one I tipped in Rex's direction.
That's what I thought she said.
Rex scrubbed a hand over his face.
Not like that. Was gonna talk to you about it once I had some more details.
My frown lifted. More details? Sounds like there were plenty of details to me. Kale laughed.
Don't get those knickers all up in a twist, Nick-Nick. Haven't you ever heard not to look a gift horse in the mouth?
You mean punch a gift horse in the mouth? He busted up laughing.
Feisty.
Not feisty. Angry. They didn't get to go making decisions for me. I should have known Renan was going to say something to him. I knew she meant well, but that didn't mean it didn't make me feel as if they all thought I was helpless. I turned back to Rex.
We're going to talk about this.
I figured we would. Nothing to talk about.
The husky voice hit me from behind. Shivers raced, and I bit back the irritation that wanted to fly from my tongue. The rest of my friends were just worried about me, even if they were sticking their noses in my business where it didn't belong. But Ollie. I knew Ollie would be a whole different issue. I tucked the conversation away for later and pasted on a grin, doing my best to change the subject, the direction of their thoughts, so I could figure out a way to get out of there with the least bit of attention aimed at me.
So what's with all the hotties at the ice cream shop with their kids? Breaking a million hearts just by being here. You guys are nothing but a danger to society.
Kale laughed.
Danger to society?
Yes.
I gestured with my chin across the shop to the three women sitting together with their kids. The only thing left of those poor women over there is a puddle of drool and a mess of wet panties. It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Panties?
Frankie's nose was all scrunched up in confusion. She was getting way too clever for her own good. I was going to have to watch that.
Oh, I was just joking, I told her. Your daddy and your uncles are just so good-looking they break hearts without having to say a single word. Good thing your daddy only has eyes for your mommy.
Evan grabbed the notepad sitting in front of his dad and scribbled across it. My chest squeezed. Painful, perfect affection. My daddy doesn't break hearts. He fixes them. This kid. Of course your daddy fixes hearts, I told him, wishing I could sign it because it meant so much. Evan's heart now beating strong because Kale had saved him almost 2 years ago. I could never quite imagine what kind of bond that might forge. Unshakable. At least that I knew.
Because your daddy is the best.
A rumble of something echoed from Kale's chest.
All right, all right. No need to get carried away. We already know I'm awesome.
Ish, I told him. Couldn't let it all go to his head. He winked at me. I took a step away, ready to bolt, to get away from the energy that crawled over me from behind.
Well, it was so nice to see you all. Hopefully we can get together soon. I've been missing my little pumpkins. I need some Auntie Nick time.
Yeah.
Chills flashed with the single word, with the rough caress of Ollie's voice.
I was just heading out, too. I'll follow you back to my place.
I walked,
shot from my mouth. If Caleb was keeping tabs on my car, the last thing I wanted was it sitting out in front for him to see when I was inside with Brenna.
Then I'll give you a lift.
My head whipped that way.
I don't think that's necessary.
He stuffed his big hands in his pockets.
Well, I think it is.
I could argue with him right there in front of everyone, What good would it do? It would just prolong the inevitable. But at least that would have bought me some time to figure out what to say. I said my goodbyes, and Ollie said his. Frankie jumped into his arms and gave him a big hug, peppering his bearded face with little girl kisses that he didn't seem to know how to take, yet reveled in at the same time. The man a twisted dichotomy. Ollie headed toward the door, and I followed. Chained to him in some profound, inexplicable way. Because, honestly, I owed him no explanation. But there I was, following right behind him as if I didn't have a choice. Bound by these zaps of awareness. Electricity tapped. Both of us feeding off the other until it became so big we were consumed by it. We ducked out into the blazing heat. Instantly, we were washed in the overpowering scent of honeysuckle and blazing stars, the air so thick it was almost sweet as it slicked our skin in humidity. The burly, overbearing man strode for his truck, which was parked at the curb. He opened the passenger door and held it open for me. "Thank you," I muttered. Ollie only answered with a tight dip of his head. His entire demeanor was rigid as he climbed into the driver's side and started the old rambling engine. I swore, that old truck only shook us up more as we traveled the short distance back to his building. My lungs squeezed almost painfully when I attempted to draw in a breath. Everything sharp and too tight. He pressed the button to open the sliding door that led to his garage. Slowly, we entered into its darkened depths. The garage door dropped behind us, and it felt as if it closed off the rest of the world. We disappeared into it, into a place that was only Ollie and me, anger and attraction and regret. God, it was so hard sitting at his side and feeling like that was exactly where I was supposed to be, and knowing those thoughts were nothing but foolish. I couldn't allow him to affect me like this. He parked in the mess of all his metal, his collection of cars and motorcycles just as powerfully beautiful as the man. He came around and helped me down. I said nothing, just headed for the old warehouse elevator that had been restored with the rest of the place. I felt as if I was stepping into a cage as Ollie slid the restored metal gate closed. Prisoned. Oh, God. His brutal energy hammered through the confined space, radiating from the walls, slamming back into me. Fed by the flashes of light that blipped through the bars as the elevator clanged and churned and rose. The elevator jerked as it came to a jolting stop at the top floor, and I stumbled. Ollie's hand darted out to steady me, burning on my hip. Fire flashed. I sucked in a breath, pinned by that sapphire gaze. His exhale was close to pain as he opened the gate where it dropped us right at his door. We moved out into the enclosed hall, and he unlocked the door to his loft, stepping in behind me. Sunlight streaked through the big windows and poured into the rambling space, stretching for all the darkened, shadowy corners. Anxiety clawed across my chest. I wasn't ready to answer his questions about Brenna, even though I could feel the weight of them from the harsh pants he exhaled through his nose. Dropping my head, I started for the hallway that led to the bedrooms. Needing to escape.
"You gonna tell me who you were sitting with?"
His voice came from right behind me. Heated chills streaked across my skin, as hot as the sun. "A friend," I told him.
"A friend?"
It was all a challenge, and I whirled on him, ready to put him in his place. Because I didn't owe him a damn thing, and he sure as heck didn't have any right to question every single person I spoke to. Ollie was right there. Dipping to get in my face. I swallowed around his blistering potency.
"That girl was terrified of me, Nikki. And I'm pretty sure I know your friends, considering all your friends are mine."
"I don't owe you an explanation."
"Bullshit,"
he spat. The force of the word pinned my back against the wall. He only backed me further into it by taking another step forward. Towering over me, his teeth ground as he issued the words a breath from my lips.
"Tell me what the fuck is going on. I know whoever that girl was is linked to what happened at your apartment."
I tipped my head up so I could meet his stare. Black sapphire, hard as steel. "I already told you there are some things you can't know, Ollie." He tugged at his hair, agitation thick. eyes pinching before he loosed an uncontained growl as he flew around as if he couldn't stop himself. A punch landed against the opposite wall. I shrieked and flinched. Fear tumbled down my spine. Not for my physical safety, just for the sheer ferocity of the man. Ollie unhinged, losing it, hanging on by a thread. He roared and whirled back around before his words dropped so low they seeped from between clenched teeth.
I know you're hiding something from me. I know it because I know you.
He slammed that same fist into his chest, right over his heart.
And I can't protect you if you don't let me in.
I shoved at him, unwilling to allow him to do this. Unwilling to let him look at me as if I was the center of his world. His gravity. The only thing that kept him anchored when he continually kept me adrift. You don't get every part of me, Ollie. Not anymore. Hurt bled with the words. I stormed for the bedroom I'd so stupidly begun to think of as my own. I had to get the hell out of there. I couldn't stay a second longer. Seth had told me to stick close, but I didn't know how to do that, not with Ollie affecting me this way. I had no clue what I was going to do or where I was going to go. All I knew was I had to leave. I banged into the door. The breath jerked from my lungs in another shriek when one of those big hands snatched my wrist and tugged until I was spinning around. Before I could make sense of it, before I could process it, he had me pressed against the dresser that sat against the wall. Both of those big hands had me by the face. A war flashed through his expression, a battle that raged. It only lasted a second before his mouth crashed against mine, crushing, devouring, overpowering. And oh God, did it ever feel good? I whimpered, and my lips parted. He took it as an invitation. Or maybe he was just breaking in. His hot tongue slid against mine, and a ball of want so huge I could barely breathe around it built in my center. Desire and need. Old, old love. If only it wasn't encased in a shell of bitterness, gelled by bitter, broken hurt. My hands flew to his wide, wide shoulders, and my fingernails sank in. I didn't know if I was holding on or pushing him away. A needy moan escaped my throat, and I clung to him in a way I knew I shouldn't. In a way I couldn't. Yet there I was, wanting to crawl right inside him, wanting to stay there forever, where everything felt perfectly right and there weren't a million things wrong around us. I felt so small against him, every massive inch of his body covering mine, eclipsing everything. He kissed me as if he'd gone mad, the man finally undone. Lost, but searching for a way to break out of the labyrinth that held him hostage. Those big hands spread across my shoulders and rode down my sides until he was palming my bottom and tugging me against his hips. It elicited a pant, and my heart thundered in my chest, as frantic as his. I felt the world tremble around me when he rubbed himself between my thighs, his cock so big and hard where it pressed against his jeans, as daunting as the man. Heat spiraled, a vortex of dark greed, a need I couldn't afford to feel. But it was there. I sucked in a desperate breath of desire. Ollie struggled to get me closer. He rocked and rocked, creating this friction I could feel sparking between us. A match and gasoline.
Nikki, sweet girl. God, why do you feel so good? So fucking good.
I could feel his torment slide out with every word, with every wayward thrust of his hips. I meant to push him away, but my fingers moved to the longer pieces of hair at the top of his head. I fisted two handfuls of it and held on while he consumed my mouth and my knees buckled out from under me. Hiking me up, he wrapped my legs around his waist, holding me while his lips danced in a delicious push and pull, tongue exploring, teeth nipping and tugging. Delirium. I ripped my mouth from his and prayed it would afford me some good sense, gasping for air as I panted toward the ceiling. It only made things worse. Ollie kissed along my chin and across the exposed skin of my throat. He lapped up and down the sensitive flesh, nipping and biting as he continued to grind himself against my center, which throbbed almost painfully. God, I wanted him. I wanted him so badly, but sometimes it was the things we wanted the most that would destroy us in the end. Nicky, he rumbled again, a guttural groan of pleasure all mixed up with agony. So dark and needy. Ollie. It was a whimper. Hope and love and everything I'd ever wanted. He palmed my breast, and he brushed his thumb over my nipple that pebbled with his touch. I ached. I glowed. I pressed deeper into his hold, and he practically growled. These tits. Fuck, Nicky, you drive me out of my mind. What the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing? Every fear I had came out with his own reservations that he rumbled across the skin of my neck, sliding over me like a slow warning. Because I knew better. I knew better. I knew this was only going to end with my heart splattered all over the floor, and no one would be there to pick up the pieces because he was the one who'd made the mess in the first place. Even though it was weak, I nudged at his shoulders. Ollie, I cried, softly. A prayer for him to stop doing this to me. Pushing and pulling, taunting and ruining. Nick, he grated, moving back to my mouth. His lips were so plush and soft and smooth, the perfect contrast to the scruff of his beard that scratched at my chin. The promise of so much pleasure. Every rush of his hand across my body was fueled by rage, softened by affection. God, this man would be my complete undoing. My beautiful beast. He worked his mouth against mine, coaxing and demanding. His presence filled me, heart and spirit and lungs. Toasted vanilla, barrels of oak soaked in liquor. Just his presence was enough to get me drunk, his touch enough to desolate. But this kind of pleasure would only bring pain, and I was so not into that sort of thing. I pushed again and squeezed my eyes shut when I whispered, "Stop." It was so low I wasn't sure he could even hear it, but I knew he felt it. A harsh exhale ripped from his lungs as he set me on my shaky feet. His chest heaved as he reached out and gripped the top of the dresser behind me, locking me in while he pressed his body away. An earthquake shook, the man a rigid fortress that towered and loomed. Beneath him, my entire being trembled, the quiver starting somewhere in my spirit and rattling out. Uncontrollable, both of us shaking and shaking, trying to catch up with what we'd just let happen. Another mistake tossed in that mounting pile. I swallowed around the love and need and the hurt. You don't get to do this to me, Ollie. Not again. I refuse to let you do this to me. I could feel the erratic boom of his heart, contending with rage and all the things he wouldn't allow me to see. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm so goddamn sorry. He eased back a fraction and shocked me again when he shackled me by the wrists. My hands locked between us, he dropped his forehead to mine. You can't leave, Nicky. I know what you were getting ready to do, and I can't let you leave. His voice was grief, a plea. He edged back and those blue eyes tangled with mine. And I can't let you keep taking pieces of me and discarding the rest. Not again, Ollie. My heart can't take it. And God, he just kept turning everything upside down because he reached out and cupped one side of my face. So soft. So sweet. His thumb moved across the moisture I didn't even know had seeped onto my cheeks. You can hate me all you want. I deserve it. I'm a bastard, and I know it. But I can't stand the thought of you out there by yourself. Can't stand not knowing who broke into your place. Can't stand the thought of knowing you're in trouble and not being able to do anything about it. Please, don't leave. I don't know how to stay here with you. Not when things are like this between us. It hurts too much. He flinched before all that rippling muscle tightened, every inch of him hard. I need to take care of you. Tell me what's happening with that girl at the ice cream shop. I started to form the excuse, but he cut me off. No more bullshit. I know you're in trouble. I can't tell you that. It was the truth. I refused to break Brenna's confidence. His voice somehow softened, and his head tipped to the side as he looked at me. What have you gotten yourself into, Nicky? For a beat, I hesitated, and then I gave him a little of my truth. I just want to make the world a better place. Minutely, his head shook. Anger was clear in the clench of his jaw.
World is nothing but corruption and evil and greed.
Like a fool, I pressed his hand closer to my face, savoring the warmth. For one more moment, I relished in this brute of a man I had no business taking comfort in. But he'd always, always been my safe place. If I can help one person, just one, Ollie, I made that ugly world better for them. I wondered how long it had been since I'd been that honest with him. Pain struck on his features, worry and adoration. The last was always what nearly dropped me to my knees, but there was too much of that corruption piled between us for the last to count. His soul soiled and brittle and hard. There was no longer any place for me. When he looked at me like that, though, it made me want to believe I was wrong. He blew out a resigned breath.
I need to keep you safe.
I searched his face, my voice quiet but strong, because for once, I wanted him to be honest with me, too. You want more than that?
No. What just happened was a mistake.
He might as well have punched me. That was what his denial felt like. How many more of them could I take? A smile wobbled on my face. It was so fake, I thought maybe my face might crack. Then you have to let me go.
You know that's impossible. I would kill for you, Nikki. Die for you.
Then why wouldn't he live for me? Devastation crawled across my chest like a disease. Oliver Preston, the infection and the cure. He took a lumbering step back. An agitated, tattooed hand roughed through his hair, which was sticking up everywhere from my desperate hands tugging at it.
You aren't leaving, Nikki. Someone broke into your place, busted the door, trashed your stuff. You and I both know it wasn't some stupid kids.
My brow pinched in disbelief. What, am I your prisoner now?
If that's what it comes to.
Tears pricked at my eyes. You're such an asshole. He started for the door, mumbling under his breath.
Tell me something I don't know.
A second before he stepped out, he paused and shifted to look back at me. The severity of it pinned me to the spot.
I'm just asking that you do this one thing for me, Nikki. One thing. All I'm asking is for you to stay.
Without saying another word, he turned and strode out of the room, shutting the door when he went. How was that fair, when the one thing I wanted was the one thing he would never give me? Not when the only thing I wanted was for him to stop breaking my heart. Chapter 14. Nikki. 14 years old. Nikki's stomach tightened. So tight she wondered how it was possible to breathe. Grating laughter rolled across the stagnant blaze of summer heat. She pressed her lips together and focused on plucking at the grasses beneath her that grew thick along the riverbank, and not the girl Ollie had his arms around. They were hanging out under the big shade tree where Ollie, Sydney, and Nikki had played for all their lives along the winding river, about a half a mile up from the lake. Sure, Cale and Rex were there, too. They'd become a part of their group a long time ago. They belonged. But it felt like Meredith was invading it. Why would Ollie bring her there? And why did the fact that he had make her feel this way? It was stupid. Dumb. But she couldn't stop the way her insides felt sticky and gross when Ollie picked Meredith up and fell backward with her into the water. His arms all around her as her screech of surprise ripped through the air. The two of them were splashing and laughing as they resurfaced before he was kissing her again. Nausea ran the length of Nikki's throat. Ugh. Nikki was going to throw up. Boys were so stupid. Fingers snapped in front of her face and Sydney's voice broke through the delirium. Hello? Did you hear a thing I said? Nikki's head jerked up. Yeah, I heard you. Okay, not at all. But she wasn't about to admit that. Sydney's eyes grew round. So? She drew out. So what? Her voice became a hiss beneath her breath. Did Billy kiss you? I saw you walking with him behind the locker rooms at the park. Redness flushed to Nikki's cheeks, and her face twisted in disgust. She hugged her knees to her chest a little tighter.
Ew. No way, Sydney. Don't even put that vision in my head. I'm liable to puke right here.
The thought of Billy putting his mouth on her made her want to gag. Mix that with Ollie kissing Meredith, she was gonna lose her lunch. Sydney looked at her as if she was crazy.
Then why'd you go and tell him you'd be his girlfriend? You could have said no, you know. You know you don't have to say yes, right?
Nikki bounced her leg. Of course I know that. Maybe I said yes because he's the only one who ever asked me. Everyone else had a boyfriend. Could anyone blame her for wanting to know what that was like?
Who asked you what?
Nikki jumped when the voice hit her from the side. She whipped her head that way. The tiny flush of embarrassment she'd been feeling at confessing it to Sydney bloomed like the red roses in her grandma's garden when she saw Ollie standing there holding Meredith's hand. He had on no shirt and was dripping wet, muscles on his arms that hadn't been there before, and his stomach. She had to duck her head when she realized she was staring, her mouth going dry and her stomach that was already in knots, making this fluttery feeling that had her thinking she might take flight. No chance of that when her belly was filled with a pile of boulders that made her feel small and weak. It was the same thing it kept doing whenever Ollie was around. It made her skin feel hot and her palms get sweaty, anxious and excited at the same time. She knew everything she was feeling was just plain stupid. This was Ollie she was talking about, her best friend, the third corner of their triangle, even though that triangle had taken a few new angles since Kale and Rex were always hanging around.
Ollie, don't you know when to mind your own business? We're having an important conversation over here. It's private, Sydney said.
She angled her head at Meredith.
Besides, it looks like you have more important things to do.
She said it as if she actually thought it'd make him tuck tail and walk away. They used to all tell each other everything. Their secrets belonged to the other. The three of them had since Nikki could remember. Her heart lit in a flurry, wanting to cling to it, for it to always remain. But she wasn't delusional. Things had changed. Ollie, Rex, and Kale had started high school last year, and this fall, she and Sydney would be starting there too. They'd all grown, changed. They used to be together constantly, sharing all their time, but their time together was coming less and less. Plus, Ollie had Meredith. Nikki would be a liar if she said that didn't bother her the most, her chest so heavy when she saw them together she thought it might cave in. Ollie released Meredith's hand and set both of his on his hips, taking that overbearing stance. He'd watched them like a hawk for all their days. Their constant protector.
No one, he all but demanded. I just heard Nikki saying he was the only one who asked her. Now I want to know who he is and exactly what he asked her.
Embarrassment ripped through Nikki when Meredith giggled at Ollie's side while looking at Nikki as if she was a pitiful little girl. That's exactly what it felt like. It didn't help that water dripped from Ollie's hair and down his wide, tanned chest. Heat blistered across Nikki's face, but she was having the hardest time looking away. Not when he was glowering at her like that. Sydney made a tisking sound and brushed back her long, sandy blonde hair. The color almost exactly matched her brother's, the same as their eyes. Though that was where their similarities ended. He was a grumbly bear, and she was a curious kitten. He was brash, and she was delicate.
We respect your privacy. So you need to respect ours, she said, calm and poised.
While Nikki thought she just might melt into a puddle, Ollie's brows shot to the sky.
Your privacy? You're my responsibility, Sid. Dad put me in charge, so anything you do is my business. I've got to take care of you. You two get yourselves in trouble, and it's my ass on the line.
His penetrating gaze moved to Nikki.
Now tell me who you're talking about.
A shiver ran the length of Nikki's spine.
I said it's girl talk,
Sydney interrupted the stare down with a rebellious jut of her chin, as if it was going to put a lid on the topic rather than ripping one off.
Private, she reiterated. Meredith laughed. Oh, I think they're talking about a boy. Leave him alone, Ollie.
Nicky cringed.
Yep, private. Clearly code for boy talk, Kale said, shaking his hair out as he climbed from the glistening ripples of water. Sounds to me like someone's got a crush.
Rex was hoisting himself out right behind him, trudging up the steep embankment.
Who's talking about me? Tell me she's hot. Hardly, asshole.
Ollie waved an annoyed hand his direction.
You think everyone's talking about you? That's because I'm hot. Why wouldn't they be talking about me?
Rex grinned as he peeked over at Sydney. Nicky swore that boy was in love with her, but Sydney swore harder. Not a chance. Sydney scowled and crossed her arms over her chest.
You wish, Rex.
Ollie turned back to his sister.
Tell me what you two are whispering about.
It's none of your business what boy we're talking about, she shot back.
Ollie's eyes bugged out of his head. Sydney had just given him all the confirmation he'd needed.
Like hell it's not. You're my little sister, and Nicky might as well be. It's my job to watch over you both.
Sister. Why'd him saying that hurt? Sydney's pretty face twisted in a scowl.
Not a chance, Ollie. Defiance blazed from her. You've been bossing us forever. You aren't gonna decide who gets to be our boyfriends, too.
Don't need to pick, because no one gets to be your boyfriend.
Ollie's attention swept between the two of them.
Not either of you.
A huff dropped Sydney's mouth open while Nicky shifted in discomfort, biting her bottom lip as her attention darted back and forth with the exchange.
Excuse me? You have a girlfriend standing right beside you, and you think you get to tell us if we get to have a boyfriend or not?
Sydney challenged.
Yeah, I do. You know Dad said you can't date until you're 18, and it's my job to watch out for you. Always has been. Always gonna be. So that means I'm the one who says, and I say no to whoever it is you both are talking about. How's that?
That's stupid. That's what it is. Just because I'm a girl, the rules are different? No way.
Not joking, Sid. You aren't allowed to have a boyfriend. And if I find out you do, someone's gonna get their ass kicked.
Rex laughed from behind him.
You'd better cover up her boobs if you're gonna make that work.
If Nicky didn't love Sydney so much, she might have been jealous of her. Sydney's boobs were already bigger than her mom's, and Nicky barely needed a bra. There Sydney was, wearing a pink bikini top and shorts, while Nicky was wearing her same white one-piece from 2 years ago with a pair of cut-off shorts to cover up her bottom. Even though they were the same age, Nicky always felt as if she was struggling to keep up. Nicky peeked at Meredith, who was only wearing a bikini, so perfect and pretty and mature. Nicky didn't want to dislike her just because of it, but she couldn't help it.
It is a stupid rule, Meredith agreed.
It's not stupid when she has a body like that,
Rex shot out. As soon as Rex said it, Ollie flew around and pushed him hard, right back into the river. Nicky sucked in a worried breath, and Sydney scrambled to her knees when Rex tumbled backward into the water with a splash. But they should have known Rex would only come up laughing, climbing back to the shore, shoving the flop of hair back that had fallen in his face. It wasn't like the three of those boys weren't constantly at each other, always tussling but never mad.
Temper, temper,
Rex said.
That's my sister you're talking about. Just saying. She doesn't look much like a little girl anymore. Just like Nicky doesn't.
She didn't. She hugged her knees closer.
Watch it. Or the next time I push you into that river, you won't be coming back up,
Ollie warned, though there was laughter running underneath the threat.
That's right,
Ollie started to shout, his voice carrying on the wind as he spun around and shouted,
Let it be known! Anyone even thinks of messing with my little sister, and I'll be the one personally taking him down.
Rex shrugged and flicked some of the water from his hair.
It's Nicky with the boyfriend anyway.
Stupid boys, Nicky muttered under her breath, wanting to crawl into a hole and disappear.
Aw, so cute, Meredith sang.
Nicky knew she was trying to be nice, but it felt like a dig. He wasn't looking in Nicky's direction, but she saw it. The way Ollie stiffened, and the roll of something angry that shivered along his strong back. Nicky felt that itchy feeling again. It tingled across her skin, something that felt good and bad and right and wrong, as if she didn't know herself anymore. Kale ignored the whole exchange and tugged his shirt over his head.
Come on, let's go check out Stillhouse. Haven't been in there since last summer. Lucky if it'll still be standing, Rex said.
Nikki chewed her bottom lip. You know it's not safe to go sneaking around in there. Rex grinned.
Always so scared, Nick.
I'm not scared. I'm just not dumb. It's not my fault I hang around with a bunch of stupid boys. I want to go, Meredith agreed, looking at Ollie with eyes that were begging him to take her along. Nikki looked at Sydney, praying that she'd get it, that Nikki needed to get away. She didn't think she could handle watching Ollie with Meredith for a second more. It's a bad idea. And still, she was climbing to her feet, the same way Sydney was doing, because that was just what they always did, always following the guys around. Sydney held out her hand to Nikki to help her stand. Excitement blazed in her eyes when she squeezed Nikki's hand and whispered just so she could hear, "Fly, fly, dragonfly." Nikki sucked in a breath and gave her a nod, following her up the slope to where they'd left their bikes. Kale had already climbed onto his and was taking off down the trail, Rex right behind him, Sydney scrambling to catch up. Nikki watched them. Rex looked over his shoulder at Sydney like he was challenging her to catch up, beckoning her to his side. Something special moved through the air between them. Nikki would bet that something special was something Ollie wouldn't like. Warily, she moved to pick up her bike, but all her movements felt slowed, sluggish, as if she were trudging through a muddied bog, held back by that same feeling Ollie radiated like his own special glow, a brand the boy wore that only she could feel. She peeked over her shoulder, and he was still there with Meredith, but looking all hard and pissed. She shook it off. Her private life wasn't any of his concern, and what he did with Meredith was definitely none of hers. She focused on pedaling up the trail, through the weeds that had grown high. The long floral spines of the purple blazing stars poking up through the spikes of the tall grasses. As soon as Ollie was out of sight, she pedaled harder, faster, thinking she might finally break away. She topped the hill and wound back around the trail toward the abandoned buildings down on Row. What used to be a dirt road was now an overgrown path that was barely discernible, just like the earth that had grown up around the crumbling, deserted buildings. They weren't supposed to go in, but they'd been doing it for years. It had always felt like an adventure. Thrilling. A little scary. A little wrong. Nikki guessed that was what made it so much fun. What made her stomach still twist with the thought of sneaking inside. She dropped her bike in front of the three stories of splintered wood and rusted steel. Inside were old, vacant offices, metal filing cabinets tipped open with the drawers emptied and gaping, canning facilities with battered, broken-down machines. When they were younger, it had been a hide-and-seek heaven. Right then, the only thing Nikki felt like doing was hiding, because she knew she was stupid for even having these thoughts about Ollie. These feelings that welled so big inside her it made her start to think she was losing her mind. And she just couldn't stomach the way Ollie had looked at her when she'd taken off. As if he was angry, disappointed, just a dumb little girl who couldn't think for herself or decide what she really wanted. Maybe she really, really was dumb, because what she wanted was him. Her breaths came short, and her heart raced as she slowly inched toward the hole in the wall they'd always snuck through.
What, are you scared?
She heard Rex shouting at Kale from inside. A reverberation that left a long echo through the vast stillness.
Not even, dude. You're the only pussy around here.
Nikki angled to the side and slithered through. Inside the building it was dark, the dusky space only illuminated by the murky rays of light. They stole through the cracks and the hazed over windows situated up near the high ceiling that was caved in on one side. The urge to escape hit her, and Nikki fumbled for the stairway off to the right, her hands gliding over the splintered walls so she could find her way. Slowly, she edged up the stairs as quietly as she could. No matter how light her footfalls, the aged wood creaked with each movement. Laughter rang through the cavernous space, echoes and joy. Sit